If there is a God who made the world and He is good, why is there so much pain and suffering? If He is loving and merciful, why does He allow such horrible events as hurricanes, earthquakes, and famine? If God made His creation good, why hasn't it stayed good? If the Creator possesses absolute power and hates evil, why does He permit evil people to hurt others? We're going to wrestle with the answers to these questions on Beyond Today.
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Why is there so much suffering? Where is God in the private moments when a child dies or when an entire community is destroyed by a hurricane or earthquake? If you're a thinking Christian, you've wrestled with these kinds of questions. If you're not a Christian, then these are the kinds of questions you demand Christians to answer. In order to face life with a sense of meaning and hope in the future, the answers to these questions have to be more than vague philosophy. And to be relevant and comforting, the answers can't simply be platitudes about God's love. Are there causes for human suffering, and can we understand? Is there hope beyond the struggles of everyday life? Joining us today are two pastors who have unique backgrounds in discussing these issues. Both men are world travelers who, in the course of their ministries, have witnessed terrible suffering in Africa, the Middle East, and the personal lives of people whom they have counseled with over the years. I'd like to welcome Victor Kubik and Melvin Rhodes.
Thank you, Gary.
You know, Vic, of course, you are the director of LifeNets, mm-hmm. which is an organization that helps people all over the world. And you've seen a lot of suffering in different parts of this planet. And if we're going to talk about personal suffering, I think we have to first put it in the context of global suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. In this world, there's no lack of suffering. It's everywhere. And through LifeNets, we've been able to help people with disaster relief, with disease, with poverty. But in my background, I've come from a family that's emigrated or has come to the United States from the former Soviet Union through World War II. And my mother had been a survivor of the famine in Ukraine in 1933, in which 5 million people died. Also, they suffered a great deal in Germany. I was born myself in a refugee camp. And with LifeNets now, years later, and through what we do, we're able to alleviate suffering, to work with it, to be responsive and sensitive to it in countries such as Ukraine, and particularly this year with Chernobyl, with the work that we've been doing for the last 10 years. Also in Central and South America, we're working with extreme poverty, and in Western Ukraine, plus other parts of the world.
Of course, Melvin, you've actually lived in Africa. You've seen the poverty and the suffering there that's very, very terrible.
Yeah, we certainly have, Gary. And, you know, one thing that comes to mind right away, just listening to what Victor was saying, is, you know, we lived in Zimbabwe for some years. And during that time, they had a civil war going on. And, of course, a lot of people were killed in that civil war. But, you know, going back fairly recently, I was struck by how the numbers of people dying now when there is peace is far greater. And the reason is because of the AIDS epidemic. During the Civil War, we had three cemeteries in the city of Bulawayo. They all opened from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and they coped even with the increased numbers of funerals. But now there's just one cemetery left. The other two have been filled up altogether with people that have died of AIDS. There's just one left that's open, and it's operating around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it just cannot cope with the numbers of dead.
You know, we all deal with individual suffering, but when we see massive suffering. I worked at a Red Cross shelter after Hurricane Katrina, and these people came in absolute shock. They had nothing. They lost everything. We literally took their clothes off, threw them away, gave them a shower, gave them some used clothing, some food, and a cot. And when you're looking at thousands of people going through this level of suffering, one of the questions that come up, you know, where is God? Where is God in all this human suffering?
Well, I know that I was at a Rotary Club meeting in Estonia just a few months ago, and I was introduced as a minister. And after the meeting, I had one of the Rotarians come up. He was the head of the dental department at the university and said, "I know you're a minister." I said, "You tell me, where is God when you see all the suffering, when you see so many innocent people perish? Where is God in all this?" And I told him that, you know, we're here for a festival. We're here to, discuss these things. Come to my message that I have on the subject. because what I was going to show is that God is very much aware of the suffering that's transpiring in the world. Because from the very beginning, if you take a look as to how God has worked with mankind, from the very first chapters of the Bible, God had a very good relationship with human beings. But man has made a choice not to remain with God. And that's part of the whole scenario of why there is suffering, why God appears to be so far away, because mankind has removed himself from God. Mankind has made a choice. This is on the global sphere.
So what we have to, I mean, we tend to put God on trial here, judge him as where is he, why is he causing the suffering? But in reality, we have to take responsibility for this.
Yes, we do. I think what Vic says is very, very true. I mean, for example, until fairly recently, the biggest single cause of death in Africa was due to waterborne diseases, which basically come back to a lack of hygiene. And simply by following a simple biblical principle regarding hygiene that's in the book of Deuteronomy, it would save millions of people's lives in Africa. So really, a lot of the deaths, a lot of the tragedies are due to the fact that people are not keeping God's laws. And some of those laws could be kept very, very simply and would have a tremendous effect in alleviating suffering.
But, you know, someone listening to us right now could come to the conclusion that what we're saying is that we cause this suffering and God has just abandoned us. And that's not true. God hasn't abandoned humanity.
No, because when you take a look at, you know, biblically, as I said, from the very first chapters of the book of Genesis, mankind removed himself from God by a choice that he had made. God told him that, you know, if you do this, you will live. If you make this choice, you will certainly die. And mankind made that choice and went the other way. But when you take a look at the end of the story, when you see the end of the experience, the human experience, you see a restoration be brought back. And the entire Bible is full of prophecies and predictions about a world coming in which the suffering will be gone. That's why we live.
God has a plan to fix this.
Correct.
What does he want from us now?
Right now, he wants each individual to turn to him and start to live his way. If people did live in accordance with God's laws, the result would be that they'd be much happier for a start, but also a great deal of the suffering which people go through would be alleviated. Not all of it. I mean, there's still going to be things that happen in life, but certainly everybody's lives would be increased greatly and improved considerably.
You know, I think we look at God and we see him as the cause, not as the solution. Let's talk a little bit about the solution. What is God going to do as a solution, I mean, if for humanity? What could we do to respond and he would give us the solution?
Well, the very first sermon that was given in the New Testament was about the restitution of all things that have been spoken by all the prophets. So a time is coming that, you know, God is going to make a restitution of the very first scene of what occurred biblically.
Restitution, okay, what's that mean?
I mean, well, restitution means bringing back to what once was.
Okay.
And God, at the very beginning, had developed a harmonious relationship with mankind. He spoke with mankind. He administered, or he gave him responsibilities. And as I said, you know, man has removed himself from that. And a time will come when a new world will come that will be so different from the world we have now. And the period from the first chapters of the book of Genesis to the last chapters of the book of Revelation is the saga of human misery and human experience as man has made his choice with his values, with his laws, his form of governance, and produced many of the fruits that we see.
We're going to come back in a minute and tell you how God can help you in your suffering. We'll be right back.
For many years, philosophers and even theologians cannot explain why there is so much suffering. Now you can understand and have a solid positive outlook when you get your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Just call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv and understand that although we reap what we sow, we can all learn to overcome our problems that are the causes of so much of our suffering. Learn how to handle your personal sufferings to become stronger, a more capable person, building permanent character. Grow to protect yourself from trials which overwhelm most people, knowing that one day suffering will end in a new world. You need your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See beyond suffering.
So we ask ourselves, where is God when people suffer? Doesn't he exercise control over everything that occurs? Is God powerless to prevent evil? Let's explore those questions by asking another question. Do we want God to totally control everything we do? Now think about it for a minute. Would you want someone else to take control of your life, to dictate everything you could or could not do, to determine everything you did in every waking moment? Would you want that kind of domination over your life? Where would you draw the line on what you would want God not to allow? Should God prevent anyone who drives too fast from speeding? Should he keep all of us from viewing television shows, movies, and video games that could somehow influence some other people to commit acts of depravity and violence? When people commit irresponsible actions, they not only hurt themselves, but innocent people. At what point should God take control of people to stop them from doing such things? You know, before we criticize what God allows, we would be wise to examine what we would have him do to stop all human tragedy. Understand, for God to prevent every tragedy, he would have to exercise absolute control over every human action, every human being on the face of the earth. But if he did, we would be nothing more than automatons, robots, and capable of making decisions on our own. We would be deprived of freedom to make personal choices. Now, human beings passionately treasure this freedom and regard it as a right. Yet we tend to blame God when our collective freedom to make choices and live our own ways produce tragic consequences. So how do we deal with this dilemma? Melvin, how do we deal with this dilemma?
Well, I think it's interesting when you think about it from the scriptures that right from the beginning, God has given every single person a choice. Adam and Eve had a choice. Either they could follow him or they could reject him. And we've got the same choice today. And again, you look at some of the problems, some of the suffering that is taking place in the world today. And in so many cases, a great deal could be done right now to end the suffering. Again, if I can use the example of AIDS in Africa. You know, AIDS in Africa now, in southern Africa anyway, is now the biggest single killer of children. Now, those children are innocent. They did not do anything wrong.
Right.
But they got the HIV/AIDS virus from their mothers. And, of course, their mothers, in some cases, or their husbands, did do something wrong. They broke God's law. God's law says you shall not commit adultery. Now, you know, I've worked with a group in West Africa in the city of Kumasi that is trying to do something about this. It's called the Virgins Club, and it's made up of young people who commit themselves to abstinence until they get married. And they've got about 500 members. They meet once a week, and they're all committed to abstaining from sexual relations until they get married. And this is one way in which we can end the suffering, you see. We can do it right now. And these are people from all walks of life and from different faiths, but they understand what God's law says on this subject. So that's just one example of how we can do something.
So a certain amount of suffering could be alleviated just by human beings being educated and willing to make better choices.
Well, certainly. In the book of Deuteronomy, for example, in the 30th chapter, God says, I set before you life and death. He says, these are the choices. These are the two options, life or death. I said, choose life. He says, please make the right choice. It's a plea from God, you know, to be that way. We have children. We want our children, you know, we train them, you know, we want them to act a certain way, but we cannot control them for the rest of their lives. We want them to come to a point in life to where they will make right choices. I have a son now who's 30 years old, and I'm very pleased with him because he is making right choices. He has a happy family, he has a wife and a child, and he pleases me with what he does, but I don't control him. I would hate to control him. I would hate to be overlooking every single action of his, but it's pleasant to me to see him make those choices on his own. He's free, and I'm free.
You know, I think that's part of the problem here. We as human beings, we really like this free will. We don't like the fact that we have to take responsibility for it, and we're actually then accountable for our own free will.
You know, when you look at life over the course of years or even decades, often you learn from your mistakes. I hope everybody learns from their mistakes. And, you know, slowly you do learn that by doing things the right way, the end result is that is going to be a happy result. Whereas if you do things the wrong way, you're going to have problems.
Mankind, too, is also of a different genre from any other form of life. You have cats, dogs that act predictably, and they are robots in one sense.
Right. Instinct.
Instinct. Right. But human beings have been created to be in the image of God. They're on a higher plane than any other form of life. And they're special to God just from that standpoint. And he wants to make a special creation from mankind.
Now, you know, suffering is a very complex subject. And I think it's important here that we discuss. Now, we're talking about free choice. And we're talking about the suffering that happens because of our choices. Now, we're not saying that because a hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado happens to go through a particular village or community, that somehow their choices cause that, right? I mean, it's not like only natural disasters happen to people who happen to be more evil than other people. We're not saying that.
No, we're not saying that. And even putting aside natural disasters, I mean, often somebody might be doing everything the right way. He might be trying to live in a very Christian way and follow God's commandments. But if everybody around him is doing things the wrong way, then obviously he's going to be affected by that, you see. So, yeah, there's still going to be suffering, even if people do try to do things the right way.
Now, we were talking about before the program, how in Europe, your travels in Europe and in the former Soviet Union, how because of the level of catastrophes that have happened there, all that suffering has actually turned a lot of people away from a concept of a loving, caring God.
I would say that for what's happened in the former Soviet Union and what's happened in Western Europe has been a irrelevance of God. They have gone through so much trauma with 60 million people who died in World War II.
Yeah.
Before that, in Stalinist times, 30 million people perished under Stalin. 30 million people perished. These are unthinkable numbers to us in our society. And they have come to a point where Boga нет, that's in Russian, there is no God. They simply consider him to be irrelevant because how could God allow that much suffering to take place?
Now, you see, it's interesting what Vic just said there, because in Africa it's quite different.
The opposite.
It's the opposite. In Africa, with all of the suffering that goes on there, people have turned to God. But there's still a problem, and that is that although people turn to God, or rather I should say to religion, mm-hmm. They're not willing to do what God says. They're not willing to make the changes in their lives that would actually alleviate a lot of this suffering.
Isn't it amazing, as human beings, we want God to help us in time of suffering. Sometimes we don't like the antidote to the suffering.
Well, certainly, and that is making those choices. Life is making one choice after another, and God begs us to make the choice that will lead to life.
I find it amazing that God, he doesn't force us. He cajoles, he teaches, but he doesn't force us. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back right after this. But we want to tell you how you can get your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? And this will give you answers to the problems you have in your life. We'll be right back.
Learn how to handle your personal sufferings to become stronger, a more capable person, building permanent character. Grow to protect yourself from trials which overwhelm most people, knowing that one day suffering will end in a new world. You need your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See beyond suffering. Where do you get good news in a world of tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, and war? What is the spiritual context for understanding why there is more monster disaster now than in recent history? Find out in your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Stay positive and get spiritual awareness without follow-up for money. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv.
We've been discussing human suffering. The important question for each of us as a human being is, can we find meaning in suffering? I mean, there's nothing more empty than useless suffering. Can we find meaning in suffering?
Well, as I've mentioned, at the very beginning, man's relationship with God was one of harmony. It was one that did not suggest that there would be suffering, but because man made the choices that he did, he entered an era of suffering. You see mankind leaving the Garden of Eden and establishing his own values, his way of governing himself, and you see the fruits of that all the way through thousands of years of human history. However, there have been prophecies that show that God is not going to abandon mankind or just leave him continue to suffer. And of course, we live in a time right now where human suffering is such where the world can come to an end just by mankind bringing it to an end. But at the very end of the Bible, to me, I find personally a beautiful culmination of processes in the fact that God brings a new world, that Christ returns to this world. The last chapters, 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation, speak of a healed world. You see the Garden of Eden appear once again. The Garden of Eden begins the Bible. The Garden of Eden ends the Bible. And you see the healing of the nations. You see a world that is devoid of the type of horror and suffering that it's going through right now. So all this puts together, as far as personal meaning, a overall perspective on the subject of why suffering.
What I find interesting is, and I've done this in my own life, suffering and asking God why, blaming God, wondering why he doesn't intervene, and then realizing God suffers too. Even the Bible talks about how he grieves because of humanity, the fact that we make all these wrong choices. Mm-hmm. We won't let him come fix the world. I say won't, not that we have the power, but the fact that he gives us free choice does this. God suffers. Jesus Christ came to this earth and suffered. And, you know, we want him to fix things, and sometimes we forget we're the cause of a lot of suffering in God's life, too.
That's very true, and I think, you know, one thing about each of our lives is, I mean, each one of us, in one way or another, goes through a certain amount of suffering in life. And I think there's a plus side to suffering. I know that sounds strange, but there really is. In fact, the Apostle Paul even refers to this in his second letter to the Corinthians, where he points out that when we suffer, it helps us to grow spiritually, and then we are able to help others who also suffer. So, for example, if you've lost a loved one, that helps you to have much greater empathy in caring for other people who are going through a similar trial. So suffering does help strengthen us. It helps us draw closer to God and helps us to grow.
Let's try to bring this down to a more personal level in the few minutes we have left. A person comes to your pastor. You deal with human suffering on every imaginable level as people come to you and ask for advice. I go through the same thing as a pastor. Where do you start? I mean, it's so complex. Obviously, we can't cover everything. But a person comes to you, there's tragedy, there's death, there's sickness, there's suffering. Where do you start to show them the comfort of God?
Well, first of all, as a pastor, normally you should be caring. That's part of the pastor's instinct to be responsive. So you care for that person and you have compassion on whatever it is they're going through, either divorce or bankruptcy or illness, whatever. Then you show them how God is caring and how God personally works with them and how God will personally walk them through either the disease or the trauma. You also give them advice about choices. In some cases, by making right choices even at that late stage, that they can overcome or alleviate some of the suffering. Mm-hmm. So you have that aspect of it where you understand suffering, but you also, as a pastor, walk people to finding help from God, which he will provide, and he gives, and that's why we pray.
Melvin, where do you start?
Well, I think everybody needs to be reminded from time to time that what is extremely important for us is our personal relationship with God. In fact, really, that's what the first commandment says, that we must have no other gods before God. So we need to put God first in our lives. And then we need to do what God says. And if we are always striving to determine exactly what God wants us to do in making a choice, then that will alleviate a great deal of suffering in our lives. I mean, a lot of people have problems with relationships, for example. That's probably one of the biggest problems that people have. And if they follow certain biblical principles regarding relationships, especially the marital relationship and relationships with children or parents, then they will avoid a lot of the heartache that so many people go through in this life.
You talked about the last couple chapters of the book of Revelation. What I find helps me a lot in suffering is the realization that this is temporary. There is a time when Christ is coming back to this earth. He's going to fix it. What's it going to be like when Christ returns? He doesn't come back this time as the baby. He comes back as the king and the master. What's it going to be like when he returns?
Well, we see a world, a utopian world, that's revealed to us through the book of Isaiah and through of the prophets of old. You find a world that's based on laws and principles. The law proceeds from Zion. The whole world wants to find out, hey, how does this all work? How does this all work right? And the world is going to be seeking solutions and finding out what makes things right. You find a world where it will compare the grief and the suffering of man's thousands of years of fixing it or trying to do it himself with what God does. And God will compare a period of time in the future with what has been in the past. And it appears from what the prophecies say that man is going to be learning in that process.
The creator of life should know how it works.
Exactly. You know, when I think about Christ returning and the establishment of the government of God, I think about Africa, and I think about all the suffering in Africa. And, you know, one of the primary causes of suffering in Africa is their own governments. And, you know, when we look at the Bible, we see that when Jesus Christ returns, we're going to have the first perfect government in the entire history of humankind. And so a lot of the problems which are causing the suffering today will be removed right there. So, you know, people will have the opportunity to put their own lives right and live much happier lives.
What I find encouraging, too, is the realization that when Christ comes back, God is going to take control of the environment. We're not going to have hurricanes. We're not going to have those kinds of problems. We're not going to have earthquakes because God's going to recreate Eden, as you had mentioned, mentioned earlier. And in that environment, humanity can thrive without violence, without suffering, and that gives a hope. We've been talking about suffering in your personal life. And when we look at all the things that we're going through, there is hope. There is hope right now for you in your life because God can give you that hope and that help. But all suffering isn't going to be erased today. There is a time it will be, though, when God sends back Jesus Christ to save this world. God isn't the reason for all this suffering. He is the answer. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
Learn how to handle your personal sufferings to become stronger, a more capable person, building permanent character. Grow to protect yourself from trials which overwhelm most people, knowing that one day suffering will end in a new world. You need your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See beyond suffering.
I would like to really urge all of you to get your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? All of us suffer. All of us go through the death of a loved one, financial problems. Just life is not easy. And in those times of despair, God can and will help you. And He'll give you a vision of a time when He is going to send His Son back to solve our problems. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks for having
me. When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.